You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. And that's the subject of this show, Sex with a capital X, broadcasting live from Dr. Susie's Speakeasy in the soul of downtown L.A. I am the irreverent Dr. Susan Block, your servant, and tonight I'm here in my cozy little studio with Speakeasy regulars. Brother Max is my engineer. Hi, Brother Max.
Hello.
And Sister Sarah is over there. And
get no mic. Hi.
I just twittered. And Brother Brandilio is over there. He's waving silently. I don't know if he's mic'd tonight. I think he's mic'd tonight. All right, and Brother Gip is across from me.
Hello, hello.
And Sister Lisa is just strolling around, making sure we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. What are we supposed to be doing? I don't know. I think we're supposed to be talking about sex, love, life, and death. And that's all I know tonight. It's open phone. I do have my Bible here, just in case I need to be inspired. I've got the Song of Songs of Solomon. Make haste, my beloved. Your neck is like a gazelle. Your toes are like the great pearls of Babylon. I just made that up, but it sounds kind of biblical, and it's similar to what's in the Song of Songs, very biblical. And we are going to sing the Song of Songs very shortly, a song of spring. It is the spring holiday season. Passover is actually when we sing the Song of Songs, so it was Kismet that I opened the Bible at that point. Kismet is exactly a Judeo-Christian concept. What is that? I think it's a little Islamic or something, or kismet might be...
What's up with my mic tonight? You hate me?
Indian? Hindu? Kismet, maybe? I'm not sure what kismet is. I'd like to know. You can look that up on your little iPhone.
I could Google it. Yeah, could be our
official. Where did it come from? Is that an Arabian thing? I kind of feel like it's Arabian. Maybe pre-Islam.
But I know it's the name of a famous robot at MIT.
Anyway, it was Kismet that I opened up to the Bible at the Song of Songs because it is the spring holiday season, the time of Dionysus, the god of wine and vodka.
Vodka deserves its own god.
I think that must be some sort of Russian Cossack god.
Let's look up the god of vodka after we look
up the god of vodka and Kismet. Yes. And I have, these are friends of mine from Twitter, New York fun couple. I'm so excited to hear from them because they're supposed to be having a threesome tonight.
Oh, really?
Let's turn down the music and let's tune in to New York fun couple from Twitter. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Excellent. Hey, do you have individual names? I mean, together you are New York fun couple.
Yes, and we are a couple. We're a mad couple. And
excellent.
I hesitate to give. Let's just call us Rob and Lisa.
How Rob and Lisa. That's okay. I don't need to know your real names. I just need to have names. You know, individual names. I guess the masculine sounding person is Rob, and the other one is the sweet feminine voice.
Maybe they switched for this story.
They could. This is an exciting story. Tell us, what's going on tonight with you?
Oh, well, really, what went on with us because
right, it's late in New York.
Together on the East Coast,
right,
it's
right, right.
Over.
So this already happened. This amazing thing, I think. What
yeah,
happened?
This is, well, it's amazing to some. It happens with us all the time.
Mm.
We have another gentleman that we play with frequently, and tonight was one of those times. And we get together at a place in the city, and just you know, what happens.
Cool. So you had a threesome with
8 years.
You had a three-way.
Yes. Yes.
All three of you having sex together, or one person watching?
Yes. Well, yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, it's you know, it's all three of us, or it's two of us, and she's choking over here. This is the first time for us on a radio show, so she's choking over here. So.
Oh, cool. But her name really isn't Lisa, so it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, say that again.
She's not really Lisa. This is all anonymous.
It's, oh, yeah, right.
It's like you're wearing a mask.
It's anonymous, right.
It really is. So
we've been doing this for quite some time, and it was, you know, there's, when we do this, it's either all three of us together,
wow.
Or sometimes it's them by themselves, or it's me and my wife. You know, it's any combination of a group-type situation with him and us, too. We've tried the other group situations before, you know, into clubs and that kind of stuff. And we even tried.
Well, now I'm spoiled, so I really don't want anybody else.
Ooh, you sound spoiled. You do. You sound like a rich woman.
Now we've,
rich
you know,
we, and
we
men.
Went out with, you know, we've tried the whole couples thing, group thing there. And now we're down to, you know, what we like is just basically a single guy to join us.
Well, you found what you like. That's totally cool. Let me just ask you to give us a little backstory here, just so that we, you know, kind of know what's going on. How long have you been married?
We've been married for 20 years, 21 years come this May.
21 years. Congratulations.
Wow.
Amen and amen. I think we're all impressed here.
25
years you've been together?
Yeah.
Wow.
25, yeah.
So you guys must have met when you were 2 years old. I mean, you sound so young.
Yeah, see a lady after her own heart.
Wow.
not that young.
You really do sound young. Do you have kids?
Yes, we do. We have two kids.
Two kids. Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
So you're the all-American couple, married, kids, and, you know, you sound pretty...
Dog.
Picket fence, white picket fence.
I'm sorry?
No, you're in New York. You wouldn't have a white picket fence.
House, but no picket fence.
Right,
pretty
okay.
Pretty darn close. Pretty much your suburban family.
And just out of curiosity, how much sexual experience did you have when you got together, the two of you? Separately.
Well, what about you?
He had more than I had, let's just put it that way.
Uh-huh. Were you, like, practically a virgin? Did you just have had a few partners?
I would say probably five.
Vibe. I call that practically a virgin. I mean, that's not very bad, you know, especially considering what you're doing now. But oh, so you had five, and then you got married, and how long did you just have monogamous sex?
Oh, I guess it was until 2001, around there. So I guess we were married in 1988. So you know, do the math, right? So was that 20?
About 12 years.
12 years, something like that. Yeah.
Right. And how did it come about that you broke this monogamy? Was monogamy important to you, or how did that evolve?
Well, to start with, obviously, yeah. Well, I shouldn't say obviously, right? But to start with, it was okay.
Mm-hmm. Fantasy. It started with pure fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to ourselves, you know, not to ourselves, to each other.
Yeah.
In
some people
bed,
talk to themselves.
And we talked about it for
that's how they get off.
Yeah, everyone fantasizes about it.
Do you remember who brought it up?
Yeah, I think I was the one that brought it up. Yeah.
Did you start talking about other men, or did it start off with other women, or did it not matter?
It started off with the couples we would talk. Like, so, you know, sometimes we would talk about being with another couple.
Yeah,
or,
so like swinging,
you know,
was kind of...
It's never just, you know, hey, we'd like to get this woman into our bed or this guy into our bed. We started talking about, you know, just other couples that were friends of ours.
Just open up,
clubs.
Opening up the sacred monogamous marriage. That's what's exciting,
yeah.
To just open it up in the beginning.
So
you don't know what you want.
We did that for a couple of years. And then I guess just after anniversary, I think, in 2001, I think it was, we were in New York City, at one, and we had looked up one of the swing clubs. I don't want me to mention the name or not.
Oh, sure. Let's promote them. Maybe they'll become an advertiser.
It was a club called Trapeze.
In New York. Very, you know, landmark club.
Very old, school club. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, boy, what an experience that was. We walked back and forth in front of the place for like a half an hour.
Oh, okay. That's so cute.
Do we want to do this? We've talked about it. You know, how are we going to feel about each other? You know, things that go through your mind. I mean, we should write a book, actually.
That you talked about it like that right before going in.
I'm sorry?
I said that's awesome that you talked about it before going in and you kind of solidified your commitment to each other.
Yeah, we did, and you know, what was funny is we went in, and there's a bouncer there, okay, and she's laughing, because, you know, we're nervous as it is, and the guy in front of us has three women with him trying to bring them into the club, which is a no-no.
Oh.
Okay, you're allowed to bring one, I think, in with you, okay?
Really?
And he has three women.
I thought that was good, and a bunch of women, but I don't know.
We're looking at this guy, and we're saying, oh, my God, he's bringing in three women, and we're nervous as it is, and they're arguing with him and having a fight that can't bring in the three women, and he turns to us, and he says, that's okay, we'll take in one of them.
Whoa!
This is our first time at the club.
You're being drafted.
We look like deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
I tell you.
You basically dropped your clothes at the door, so you can't have too many hang-ups.
So once you got in, you got rid of your clothes.
And we went in and had our first experience.
Uh-huh. So you get your clothes and you put like a sarong on or a towel?
No, we weren't that. We weren't knowledgeable to start with. So it was sort of went into the locker rooms and got undressed, you know.
They hand your towel.
They hand you a towel, and then you walk around with, you know, with the towel. We weren't sophisticated enough back then to even know to bring a sarong or a robe or what have you.
Well, sometimes
so,
they provide
we
that.
We went into the group room that they have there, and that was our first experience. I mean, I don't know that I really got involved too much. You were there with another guy, and I was right next to you.
Wow.
I
so, Lisa. Lisa, do you remember your name is Lisa? Lisa, you remember? That's your name. Lisa. Hello? Lisa, that's your name.
Yes.
Yes, okay. You dove right into, like, an orgy, it sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you knew that your husband was into it. You knew he would appreciate it. You weren't going to hurt his feelings.
Oh, no. I wasn't going to hurt his feelings at all.
And you
not
felt
at
like...
All. Wasn't that
what
at
what
all.
Were you feeling when you know, you kind of walked into that group room and got involved with a strange man?
I thought I was going to puke to start with.
Really? You thought you were going to puke?
Yeah.
You were grossed out or you were just scared?
Well, like, you know, you've been with somebody for 25 years or 20 years. It's a long time to be with somebody, whatever, 15 years it was. That's a long time.
To be but maybe it'll like 25. You know, I understand. Yeah.
You haven't seen anybody else for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Pretty used to having sex with the same person after all those years.
Well, yeah, but you got into it, right? I mean, you didn't actually grow up, right?
Then we got into it, and then we sort of moved from going to clubs, and we kind of moved into going to private parties, more house parties and private parties, cell parties. More intimate situations, not so many people.
And you really found that
you... That was good for a while.
You found that you...
used to hang with
Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Once, twice a month.
Hello?
At our own little house party.
Can't hear me.
But after a while, you know, it's sort of... They become, you know, you become friends and everything. And at that point, sort of the excitement of new people kind of goes away.
Cool. Can you hear me now? We're just gonna. I think we're having a little sound problem.
Can you just hear Dr. Susie? Can you hear me?
Oh, that is much better.
Much better. Okay. Okay. So let's see. So Rob, remember that's your name, Rob. Okay.
Yeah.
What is it? What is it that turns you on about? About
you
having
can call
a
me whatever you want. I just gotta remember what it is. That's
okay, right. It's wrong. That's what I wrote down. What is it you feel? Well, let's start with positive. What turns you on? What makes you feel good about being in a threesome with your hot wife and another man.
This is interesting because it just happened about like an hour ago, so I'm curious to hear what he has to say.
Well, first off, I'm watching her with him.
Okay. So you're kind of a voyeur, and you like to watch your wife.
I do like to watch, but I also like to participate.
But you also have to realize that I'm 5'3 and a half, and the person we sleep with is 6'6 and 260 pounds.
Wow, he can, like, juggle you.
And black.
Yeah.
Ooh, and black. And black. She threw that in there. Uh-huh. And can we have another measurement of a body part? His biceps? No.
Imagination.
Oh, use my imagination. Okay.
No.
You never measured it, actually?
Ten.
I don't know. I'm glad I didn't have my imagination, because I would have imagined smaller. That's big. Okay, very good. So 10 inches, that takes up half your body, Lisa. Wow.
It's perfect. It's just perfect.
So are you a little tiny petite size queen?
No, I'm not petite at all, but like I'm only 5'3". So
you're 5'3", that's petite.
Petite, yeah.
Oh, but you're kind of a curvy
I'm not like
woman.
A skinny mini person.
No, okay. And you like them well hung.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So Rob, what do you feel about that?
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
It's not an inferiority thing or anything like that. I'm definitely not ashamed of what I have.
Uh huh.
Okay, and you know, in the end, the way you know. I go home with her.
He's just fine. Okay. So it's not a case of, you know, there are some threesomes where the husband is kind of, you know, humiliated by the situation, and that would not be your kind of threesome.
You have cum in hair?
What? Yeah, that's what I do. Oh, sorry.
You've cum in your hair?
Sorry. I do.
Was that what I heard?
Yeah,
just cum her hair?
Yeah.
It's sort of like dippity-doo. Yeah, you just use it to make your hair do it.
Like, all about Mary or whatever that
movie
is.
Yeah. Right.
No, but
that was just a sidetrack.
We're not that. We are that type of a couple.
Right.
It's not a humiliation thing at all here at all. Nothing like that at all.
Is it a cuckold thing? Do you know about the cuckold terminology?
You know, I've heard about it, but I don't quite, you know, I've seen so many different definitions that I don't know what the true definition really is. I mean, is it the fact that I like seeing my wife with another man, okay? Is
well,
that it?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what is it? Is it the fact that, you know, that they can go off on their own, which I'm okay with as long as I know about it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, is that a thing, you know?
I think the modern definition of a cuckold, you fit right into. A cuckold is simply a husband whose wife has sex with other men, whether he knows it or not, whether he likes it or not. That's a cuckold. Now, in Old English, which is where the term cuckold comes from, it was a term of some derision and humiliation, because any man whose wife had sex with another man, in the Middle Ages, was considered, you know, kind of a buffoon, because your wife was your property, kind of like your pig or your cow. So it would be like somebody a pig and eating it if somebody had sex with your wife. So not that your wife is a pig at all. But anyway, I think that in modern times, the word cuckold, as well as the whole concept of a threesome with another man, is becoming cool, is kind of a hip thing to do. It's certainly not a humiliating thing for a lot of the husbands that are into it. Some do like humiliation.
Because you said something that was interesting, okay, that the definition included whether I knew it or not.
Yes.
Okay, or liked it or not.
Yes.
Okay, and us in that situation, number one, it's not a like it or not. Either of us has veto power.
Right.
Okay, so
and you seem to like it.
No, mm-hmm. It's not whether I liked it or not. Okay, and the other thing we have is the big thing in the whole swing style is trust.
Right.
Okay, and you know I don't go off or she doesn't go off without either of us knowing about it. So the whole behind the back type of a thing is not what we're about. Okay.
Yeah. No, I got that.
Of what you said in there, or you know, fit us exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, the term cuckold is now involving broad spectrum of activities, which include, you know, an agreement between a husband and wife that this is a kind of extracurricular sexual activity that you both enjoy and that you do need to kind of inform each other about what you're doing so that you can maintain the trust. Definitely, that's part of the modern approach so that it's not a source of pain but a source of excitement. Now, the question is, why is it such a source of excitement?
That's the question we've been asking ourselves for a long time. As a matter of fact, she asks me that all the time, and you know, I don't know that I can actually truly explain it.
Well I can. Maybe even Sarah can, because she's been studying here.
I could,
Sperm Wars School of cuckolding. So
no, you give a story, but I knew the answer.
You did. Sperm Wars is the answer. Have you ever heard of that term, Sperm Wars, or sperm competition?
No.
Okay. Well, let me just explain it in a nutshell. Pun intended. It actually has a lot to do with your nuts. Okay. They used to think that that sperm was all the same, that all the sperm were like runners, that it was kind of like when you ejaculate, it was like somebody shooting a gun at the start of a race, and that all the sperm ran the egg. They since discovered that there are many different types of sperm, and actually only 1% of the sperm in a man's load are runners. And the rest, what are they? They are killer sperm. They are defender sperm. They are sperm that attack and sperm that defend. And why do we have sperm that attack and sperm that defend? You're not trying to attack or defend your own sperm. Well, you are defending your own sperm against another attacker. But you're not attacking your own sperm. Your sperm are all brothers. They all, you know, they're all on the same team. So there must be another team. And that's true. The other team would be another man, any other man, or even the fantasy of another man. See, sperm is more like a football team or an army than like a bunch of runners. So, you know, the whole team is there if the man is feeling like there's an enemy, like there's another man. Now, you don't have to feel this guy is really an enemy. In fact, he could be your best friend. You could really like it when you like it. But the sperm within your testicles kind of wakes up when you feel that another man could be having sex with your wife, or in fact is having sex with your wife. Either the fantasy or the reality will make you kind of step up to the plate, you know? Here's the thing, is no matter how much you love your wife, no matter if you think she's the most gorgeous thing in the world, after X number of years, you get used to her. And if you don't feel that she's ever going to have sex with another man, if you feel you can trust her completely, that she's totally monogamous, will never have sex with anyone but you, no matter how beautiful she thinks you are, your sperm is not going to be as profuse. Nature will conserve your sperm because you don't need to have that whole football team. You can just send out a few runners, maybe one or bodyguards, no big deal. But when you feel that there's another man, wow, you got the whole football team going. You got to get them all going. So it gives you a stronger erection and a more powerful ejaculation. And that's Sperm Wars.
Well, sperm tonight.
I love enlightening people about this. It's pure science, and yet it's so trippy, you know. Mm-hmm. It's really trippy. But anyway, maybe that'll help you to feel like, you know, you're biologically correct.
I'm not nuts, right? Well,
I think everybody else is stupid.
Well, you know, let me just say that you guys
don't do it.
You guys are
totally missing out on something in life.
You're right. It is tremendously exciting, and it does help a couple that's together a long time to keep lust alive forever. However, it's difficult for a lot of couples. It's very difficult. There's jealousy. There's anger. There's insensitivity and hypersensitivity. So, you know, it's tough. It's not easy for everybody. You guys are very evolved.
Well, by the way, you know, you mentioned the jealousy. I mean, that creeps up all the time. I mean, even after 8 years, every once in a while, you know, something may happen, and you know what? I get a little jealous. I can't help it. I'm right.
Right,
you know,
and that is.
I've also been sleeping with the same person for a year and a half.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, and you just, you know,
and only him.
Some moan she gives, or something he does, or something like that. You know, it just some twinge of jealousy goes off, and I'm just human.
And how do you deal with it?
Besides pouting.
Oh, that's so honest. That's so sweet. You guys are great.
Until he gets attention.
Well, Lisa, how do you deal with it? How do you calm him down if he starts pouting with jealousy?
I give him attention.
You give him attention. Okay.
Yeah.
Good
idea.
Give
him a blowjob to wipe that. I can pout right at his face.
Right. A woman has to be powerful to be able to balance her two men. Absolutely. Good for you guys.
So.
All right. Well, I'm so.
Two guys is the way to go.
Two guys is the way to go.
I have a question, a kind of lowbrow question.
Yeah, go for it.
Uh-huh. Do you guys do the old double penetration?
Yeah, actually, we did, and we did tonight.
Is that what you just did? Oh man.
Well, wait a second. There are three holes. So what kind of double penetration is it? In the mouth and in the vagina, or in the vagina and the anus?
We did that too.
All of it.
See, that's what I mean. I feel that the two men thing is wasted if you're not doing at least some, you know, dual action
of that.
Wait, which way do you think it was, though? Who do you think was did the whole butt thing? And
it sounds like I would guess Rob was in the butt, and the friend, the 6'6" guy, was in the.
I mean, unless you're crazy and you want inches up your ass, which you could be. I mean, I.
Well, we got a little news for you. I guess she's crazy.
Yay! I'm crazy people. Wow, we're impressed now. That's hot.
Well,
congratulations. Whoa, that's impressive. That is. Hey, you guys. And we met him on Twitter. These are our Twitterites.
I think since they're anonymous, we can't really shout them out on Twitter, can we?
Yeah, we can. They're
New
York Fun Couple.
NY Fun Couple.
Oh, okay. That's your. Oh, you have like a Twitter alias.
Yeah,
cool.
They're totally sexual on Twitter.
I started a Radio Susie 1 hashtag, by the way, if any of our listeners want to Twitter us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
it's just Radio Susie 1.
NY Fun Couple.
All right.
NY
Fun Couple.
No issues with there whatsoever.
Okay, well, we love you guys. Listen, you gotta
have a good night
to post on Twitter Sex Tuesday. Tuesday is our Twitter Sex Day.
I'm gonna make sure we Twitter on Tuesdays. Right.
Well, just make sure you Twitter on Tuesday and put a hashtag Twitter Sex Tuesday, or just Twitter Sex. Okay.
Have a good night.
All right, you too.
You're
gonna have sweet dreams.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm not going to sleep.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're going to have more hot sex. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, it gets those testicles going, you know. It really does.
Exactly.
Those armies of sperm are still gathering because they know the other guy's sperm is somewhere around. And they're just going, come on, we got to get in there. We got to get in there. We got to protect our egg.
They've already won the battle. They just have to make sure that they've got the whole war solved.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. They got to move. Absolutely. It's a little bit.
Good night.
Okay. Good night. All right. They're great. New York Fun Couple, Rob and Lisa.
And we're going to go to Phil.
We have
yes,
Danny.
Yes, I know. And then we're going to go to commercial.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're going to go to commercial.
We're going to go to commercial, I guess. I'm told that.
Okay.
We're going
cool.
to commercial. All right.
Then you can't talk about with anyone else. You can I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 13-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You are listening to Radio Susie on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Hi. I'm back, And I'm doing Radio Susie One live with Sarah.
Hello,
sister
hello.
Sarah Sue and Brother Max and Brother Bran. And we have Danny on line one from Texas. Hello, Danny.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you on the air.
Danny from Texas, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Danny from Texas.
My question is about sexual surrogacy. I understand that you run a program that is done over the phone. However, what I'm more interested in is being an actual sexual surrogate that works personally with clients,
mm-hmm.
With a therapist. I've been trying to get hold of IPSA to get started, and I can't get hold of anyone down there, so
yeah.
That's why I called you.
Okay, well, you want to be hands-on.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I hear you. I do work with a couple of sex surrogates, not too often, but occasionally I get a client who I think would benefit from working with a sex surrogate and who I think is curious about the kind of work that a sex surrogate will do. Unfortunately, a lot of people out there have misconceptions about what a sex surrogate does.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of that going on. And that, I guess, doesn't help with the whole field of sex surrogacy kind of some respect in a way, because people think of sex surrogates as being kind of like accredited prostitutes, and they're not at all. But
no, they're not.
That's how a lot of people
well,
think.
It definitely sounds hot. Whatever it is.
Well, it is hot. And, you know, I mean, sex surrogates help a lot of people who have difficulties, you know, with really basic difficulties, like people that can't touch, guys that are young and can't get an erection, even though nothing physical wrong with them, premature ejaculating guys, mostly
and nobody else could help them with it besides a sexual surrogate coming in, you know?
Exactly.
Some of those people can't fix those problems by talking about it or medication. Sometimes they
right.
need someone who's not their partner and isn't going to offer that pressure,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I totally agree. And, you know, I think I can help people with like 80% of what they need help with over the phone. But there's that 20% that, you know, needs some hands-on help, and that's where a sex surrogate comes in.
I think historically, don't those people go to prostitutes?
Well, you know, like if you're scared of girls.
Let's
put it this way.
During their experimental sexual research.
Let's put it this way. There are many prostitutes who do act like therapists, and they
mm-hmm.
help guys that are, you know, like older virgins, guys that are very, very shy.
Awkward and
all
can't figure it out.
Right. Sometimes a prostitute is good for that.
So is the idea that it's kind of like legalizing drugs, you know, if you have to go to a prostitute, that's seedy and
well,
gross, but if you could get the same, you know, therapy that you need from like, a safe, controlled environment, then it's not as bad?
In part, but only in part, because surrogates are trained to help guys with problems, and I don't
right,
think
they're not
prostitutes are not trained.
Right, and they do whatever you tell them to do.
Yeah, a prostitute does what, like, exactly. Like, you know, most guys will say, let's have sex right away. So the sex surrogate says, no, we're going to do the hand exercise first. We're going to do sensate focus. We're going to do these different little exercises that are really very beneficial to opening yourself up sexually, to dealing with your problems, yes.
Mogulus wants to know if sex surrogates have to practice safe sex or prove that they've been recently tested.
That's a good question.
Absolutely, I do, and it's the sexual surrogate's responsibility to make sure that all precautions are taken as necessary.
Okay.
Or STDs.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know sex surrogates actually had intercourse. I thought it was.
Yeah, I didn't know that either for a long time, and I finally got somebody to speak frankly with me about it, and
yeah.
when I found that, I was like, well, of course I could do that.
Of course, of course. It's part of sex. The thing about a sex surrogate is they don't have sex, they don't have intercourse right away. They
mm-hmm.
they usually take maybe 10 sessions of kind of
meeting with the
getting
client
to know,
and the therapist
mm-hmm.
and decide whether or not it will be a healthy course of action to actually pursue, you know, some kind of physical interaction.
Right. But
so
they can practice safe sex, Mogulus, so, you know.
What are the clients?
You can't play bareback, guys. Don't think about it.
What is the normal sex surrogate client like?
Shy. Really super shy.
I'm going to ask another brow. Are they usually, like, fat and ugly?
No. No. That's the funny thing. No.
It's more of an emotional problem?
Yes. I've only had maybe 10 clients that I've worked with a sex surrogate, but I didn't think any of them were ugly.
It's not like
ugly.
They couldn't get sex.
No.
They just had actual, like, emotional issues.
They did very serious emotional issues. A couple of them had religious abuse. I mean, they really, one of them was a serious Irish Catholic, just couldn't touch. He managed to have sex with his wife and had 3 kids, but kind of did it without touching with his hands. Didn't know how to use his hands in sex. Didn't know how to give and receive pleasure through hands and through kind of skin touching, even though he managed to
How did he discover that he had that problem in the first place?
His wife complained.
Having bad sex?
Yeah, you know, basically that he was messed up and forced him. She took the kids and left, and he was all alone and miserable, and he called and said, I need to learn how to touch. I know my wife left me because I couldn't touch her, I couldn't hug her, I couldn't caress her. You know, I just couldn't. I feel it's dirty.
Wow.
And I don't want to feel it's dirty, and I need to practice on someone, and I don't want to go to a hooker.
That's where
what
I
do I do?
In.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I feel so much for people like that, but people like that need help. And
that was a good question.
Women get surrogates.
Wait. Yes. What's the question?
Well, no, I just.
No, Brian said the other question. I can't hear.
Oh yeah, Mogulis wants to know if women can get sex surrogates.
Oh yeah, women can get sex surrogates. You guys all got to line up though to be sex surrogates.
Okay. I need a sex surrogate.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, I got
the Mogulis guys are ready to volunteer.
I have religious issues too. It's very dirty and bad to have sex.
Aww.
Yeah. No, only dirty people have sex. And married people, but only for kids.
Mm-hmm. But if married people do it, and for kids, we're dirty.
That's dirty.
Yeah, dirty.
Help, damn bot.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, yes, they have sex surrogates for women. It's a little more controversial, though. But, yeah, sure.
What? Why would that be more controversial?
No, because the whole thing is controversial.
Well, you know what? They don't have fucking massage parlors for us. They don't have a whorehouse for us, women, you know?
Right.
At least give us a surrogate. Yeah, but you go to the Bunny Ranch and get women. You can't go to the Bunny Ranch and get hot men.
Well, I don't know how hot some of these male sex surrogates are that are actually authorized.
Now that you mention it.
But I have this
feeling that...
I'm sure they don't have
to. Danny is hot.
Yeah. Yeah, Danny sounds hot.
Danny, when did you decide you wanted to be a sex surrogate, and how did you decide?
Well, I've always been fascinated by sexual health, and I used to want to be a sex therapist, but I started thinking that I wanted to do something a little bit more personal, a little bit more hands-on, a little bit more involved with people, instead of just talking to them. And I heard about sexual surrogacy, but I never really knew exactly what it was. And I finally got... My guidance counselor to talk to me about it because she's a new sex teacher at my school. And she spoke to me and told me what they did, and I was like, wow, I could do that. I would really like to do that because I have this really big desire for people and to be involved with people.
Well, that's and really wonderful. That's
I don't think
great.
If I do a job where I help people, I'm never going to be really happy. So,
I don't think it's legal in Texas, but I'm not
sure.
No,
it's not.
Yeah.
It's most definitely not. And that was one of the toughest things about finding out about it. I called the sex therapist here, and they were basically like, we don't dispose here at all.
Right. I mean, it's not legal in very many states. It is in California, but not too many states. And even in California, it's like, I think they bust... people claiming that they're prostitutes.
It's a pretty gray area.
Gray area, right.
Is that why we haven't gotten involved in the sex surrogacy?
Well, I have been involved. I do work with sex surrogates that are accredited by that organization.
IFSA.
That's what it is. I can't pronounce
it. International Surrogacy Association?
And national...
What exactly do you have to do to get accredited?
That's what I want to know.
You have to take their courses and...
Is there sex involved in the accreditation?
Yes.
I think There might be. I'm not sure.
There is. I researched that. Basically, you go and it's a course over a couple different months, and you, with the other students, you practice taking turns being the surrogate and the patient. So,
that sounds like the high school ever.
Yeah.
Sign me the fuck up.
Well, you know, this is why it's so controversial, because it is the hottest school ever. And it's, you know, when you really think about it, I think if you're rational, you think, why the F not? Why shouldn't they be sex surrogates? Why shouldn't we have people to help us with our sexual problems in a hands-on way?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it's so controversial, and it's illegal in most states, and it's even basically on the borderline here in California. So, Danny, you got to come out here to L.A., and you can work here as a sex therapist while you support yourself taking your sex surrogacy courses. Come over to...
Awesome. How do I get involved in the sex surrogacy courses, though?
Well, I don't know that.
I can go to school wherever I want. I just need to know what I'm doing.
You know, why don't you email me, and we'll try to look...
We can find that, some information about that and post it on one of our sites.
Yeah.
It's a common question.
I know it's funny because the woman that I've worked with that's a sex cert, and she's been this for years, but lately I've noticed that she's doing phone sex because I think she can't make a living as a sex surrogate. So I saw her advertisement somewhere. But she is a sex surrogate, and I'm going to ask her a little bit about what you need to do and who you can call to get this information.
Is it something I could do, like, as a side project? Could I be a sex surrogate, like, freelance business thing?
Yeah, I have a school.
Is it like a
hobby, actually?
Yeah. Like, maybe evenings and weekends, I could just do my surrogacy?
You work here evenings and weekends.
Well, a couple of evenings and a couple of weeks.
Okay, a couple of weekends. You could.
Does surrogacy ever involve a yacht? Can you ever do your surrogacy on a yacht?
Yeah, sure.
I thought you were going to hire the male surrogate to help you out with your problems.
Yeah, that's probably easier than trying to get
become
off
a sex
on
surrogate.
Other people with problems.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be very compassionate. You got to be the Mother Teresa of
well,
sex.
Well, so I think the school could help me overcome my problems if I have to do it with every other student.
Yes.
Student body.
There is that. There's simply practice makes perfect. Anyway, Danny, stay in touch with us, okay? And we'll try to help you out here.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Okay, let's talk to... who do I have here? Line... Andy? Andy in Vermont on line 2. Hello, Andy. Hello, Andy. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey there.
Welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
What do you know about foreskin restoration?
Wow, foreskin restoration. I think it's okay. I think it kind of works. I mean, nothing like having the original, of course. So that's why I do not support circumcision of unwilling infants. And how could an infant possibly be willing? But in any case, it happens for both religious reasons and people's idea of what's hygienic. So you know, then you've got all these adults who are walking around, and some of these guys want their foreskin back. So there are these foreskin restorations.
Why would you ever want your foreskin back?
What is because that? There's a reason you have it in the first place.
What's that reason again?
It protects your peach.
So
it protects the sensitive, delicate head. It keeps it moist. It keeps it sensitive.
But there's nothing wrong with other ones.
What do you mean wrong?
They're not like unmoist and unprotected.
They are unmoist. That's why they need lotion.
They need lotion?
Yes, when they masturbate. Usually, always, but usually when guys don't have a foreskin, they need lotion to masturbate or some kind of lubricant because they have no foreskin.
Right.
The foreskin provides a natural lubricant.
But only for masturbation, right? I mean,
well, you know, you would imagine that once they get into the mouth or the vagina that there is the woman's lubrication.
How about Andy? Why does Andy want his foreskin back?
Let's ask Andy. Andy?
Yeah?
Why do you want your foreskin back?
Just because it was mine.
There's another reason. Just because it's mine.
I don't get it.
When were you circumcised by your parents when you were an infant?
Yeah.
Okay. How would you like it, Sarah, if your parents cut off a piece of you without you knowing?
Depends, you know? Like, what if humans were born with tails and you had to cut their tails off when they were young? Maybe I'd be okay with that. You know, sometimes they take your tonsils out. What the fuck?
Well, you know, I would have even liked it if my parents had taken my tonsils out. I actually didn't, when a lot of parents did take their kids' tonsils out.
I was actually supposed to get mine out. I'm pissed they didn't take them, because
I am very happy that I didn't get my tonsils removed, because tonsils do protect your throat from certain viruses. So it's not so brilliant to take tonsils out, and it's not so brilliant to circumcise. And that's my belief. That is my feeling. If you want to circumcise, do so as an adult. That's what I say.
That is gross and painful. Here's my thought on that.
You can use antiseptic. You can be unconscious while it's being done. You can be put out. What are you talking about?
It's just a huge thing.
Don't you think it's painful for an infant?
Yeah, but so is birth. Birth is fucking painful, you know?
Not for the baby, just for the mother. The baby just...
Sure it's painful to have your head squeezed by a vagina?
There is another thing. Many children are damaged for life from that operation.
I know
and
of a kid...
If you're one of
I
those
know of
guys,
a bunch of kids that got herpes from the circumciser, who happened to be a rabbi, who had herpes.
That's disgusting.
Isn't it?
I've known plenty of guys with circumcised cocks and problems.
Well,
no, of course.
Okay, listen.
Most guys don't.
Most guys, first of all, because the operation of foreskin reconstruction is not exactly easy surgery, most guys are practical. They go, I don't have a foreskin. I don't want a foreskin. I'm better off without a foreskin. It's perfectly logical human thinking. But I say, why keep doing this to generation after generation? Whether you believe in God or nature, we were created, we evolved, or we have these characteristics that are worthwhile, or we wouldn't have them. I mean, yes, they can go bad.
What about estrogen, though? I mean, we have weird things in our bodies that we don't really need, you know?
Like adenoids.
Like what?
I can't remember, like the appendix, is that one?
Adenoids.
Maybe appendix.
Adenoids, or who knows, I'm not you know.
What do you mean we don't need our adenoids?
I don't have adenoids.
Well, maybe you don't.
I don't know what the fuck adenoids.
I like my
wait a minute.
All I know is evolution.
Wait a minute, I know one thing, that degenerative diseases are massive today. And we think nothing of cutting out people and eating different foods and doing all of that. In the meantime, everybody has diabetes. Hey, folks, I wonder where we're getting that from. And how about cancer? Cancer, where are we getting that from? You know. And does a child remember when he's been circumcised? Absolutely. It's in his consciousness.
He doesn't remember consciously.
Right, but
what it is this act of violence was done to him by a grown-up, an adult human being.
I don't think it's slice that much more violent than slicing the cord.
My son almost died from it. Okay?
I have a friend that almost bled to death when it happened.
Yeah, and of course. And there are many. There's thousands of children victims of it. Thousands. Not one.
Let me just say, along the sexual vein.
And it's mainly to make car payments for doctors.
That it is a beautiful thing to make love to a man with a foreskin where you can pull it back and forth, and as he gets harder, and just play with it, and then when he comes out of it, he's that much more sensitive because he spent all that time in it. Because don't you think that a penis that's exposed to underwear and zippers and
have the same feeling
is going to develop a kind of cast around itself, so it's not going to have as intense feeling as one that is covered.
Let's put it this way. I'm not circumcised, so I can tell you this. It's like
no one knew you were circumcised.
It's like your clit. It's like a woman's clit. It's protected. It's hidden.
By a hood.
Then, by a hood.
Right, the clit doesn't usually stick out all the time. I mean, there are rare women whose clits are always sticking out, but most of us, our clits recede when we're not having sex, when we're not aroused.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be sensitive there.
The clit becomes so sensitive because it is protected most of the time, and then when it's aroused, it comes out.
Anyway,
just like
our caller had a question.
Yes. Andy?
Andy, go ahead.
Yeah.
You had a question? You started to say something?
Did you have a question, Andy?
Yeah. Is there any particular method or whatever that works best to restore?
I think the best method is to really research it yourself, and I apologize for not being able to give you a doctor that I know does this well, but you need to research this, and you need to ask these doctors to speak to patients that have been through it.
So, I mean, do you actually know what actually happens when there's a circumcision?
For us,
he wants to get a restoration.
Make things work better down there.
Excuse me?
Work better?
Like to make for more stimulator.
What is the question?
What can he do to get more stimulation?
What can do to get more stimulation down there? Like say when you're masturbating or something.
Well, there's all kinds of things you can do for more stimulation. Like, I don't know, look at porn. Like, I mean, that's stimulating.
I don't know if foreskin restoration is going to give you more stimulation.
Yeah, I mean, if you've already lost the stimulation from not having foreskin.
Well, you know, it's possible though that foreskin restoration would then allow you to develop sensitivity again. Though I would think it would take a few years.
Yeah, it would take time.
Would take some time, and you know, how to get more sensitivity physically. I mean, we're talking about something that's so intrinsic. I mean, when you don't have a foreskin, what are you going to do? Wrap it up in a piece of liver? I mean, I don't know what else would kind of imitate the feeling of a foreskin. You know, a little wrap it up in some roast beef or something.
Wear briefs.
Well, everybody wears that.
They don't.
What briefs? Or boxers or whatever.
Well, briefs, like, you know, contain you.
It's cotton. It's not really the same as flesh.
Well, you're describing it as some seductive pillowcase which cups you all day long. And I think what you really need is protection from zippers and chafing, you know?
Okay, but I think when you're comparing it to the inside of a foreskin,
right.
Cotton is chafing.
I'm not comparing. I'm just saying, and if you want to rebuild sensitivity, wouldn't briefs be able to do it, you know? Or is that...
No. You're not stiff. You have a clit, right?
I think.
Okay, wait. Imagine I cut away all the skin around it, and it's all
day... And it's hanging out there. That, you know, I've considered getting my clit pierced. And then
No.
Well, they do say that there's a threat that the rubbing of the metal would kill your sensitivity, you know?
No. I'm talking about taking the skin that protects it and cutting it all away and just having your clit rubbing up
against
it.
It might make it easier for guys to find it.
Oh, come on, Sarah.
That's horrible.
I don't know. I can't pretend to imagine what that would feel like.
What happens when a man is circumcised is the doctor pulls all the skin, the pecs, the out, literally, all the way back, and pulls it all up, and cuts it off. Okay? Imagine someone did that to you.
That answers my questions for tonight.
Yeah, he wanted help with how to get it back.
All right.
Get a restoration.
We are not that helpful, and I apologize for that.
You can get a restoration.
He should restoration, but we don't know that much about it. So you got to do some research on your own. And
Okay.
Basically, find someone who's had the operation. Go on the internet and see if you can find someone who's had the operation. Okay?
And I highly commend it, just on the masturbation point of view, where you don't have a grease.
You're welcome. You take care.
Bye.
Okay. Did we finish that subject?
Yeah.
I know it's a subject. Right, very right. Emotional subject. We're talking about some emotional subjects tonight on the Dr. Susan Block Show. And we're now going to talk to Curious George on line 3.
Hello.
Please, George, turn your speakers down a little bit. Are you there?
Okay. Curious George is not there. Mark.
Hello.
Hi. There you are. Hi.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing?
Have you seen my foreskin?
Have I seen your foreskin?
Yeah,
not lately. Not tonight, darling. Oh, you've got your radio on. I hear myself echoing in the background, so you're kind of dizzy right now.
First time radio caller.
No, this is Curious George. He's called before, don't you remember?
Well, he should know to turn his radio down.
I have a radio.
Whatever
your
you've
computer,
got.
You're listening on your computer. Turn down your speakers a little bit.
My phone?
Okay, somehow we... Okay.
Right.
Vaya con Dios.
Adios.
Okay, we're going to go to Mark on line one.
There's nobody on.
Nobody on line one. Okay,
no,
so then we're going to talk amongst ourselves.
Yay! We're actually going to go to a commercial right now.
Oh, okay. Can I give out the phone number first?
Sure.
Okay, so we're taking calls, actually, here on Radio Suzy 1. So far, we've been talking about threesomes and sperm wars, cuckolding, sex frigates, and circumcision. And we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, as long as it is thing related to sex, love, life, or death. I think pretty much covers everything. So give us a call. 213-749-1330 is the number. If you're anywhere in the world, you can call that number. 213-749-1330. If you're in America, North America precisely, you can call our toll-free number, which is 1-866-289-7068. That's 1-866-289-7068.
Can you talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497. Anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy 1 on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
I'm back, and I'm here at Radio Suzy 1 Studios in the soul of downtown L.A. with Sister Sarah, Brother Max Brian, Sister Lorelei, Brother Bran, Brother Skip, Sister Felicia, Brother Sister Mar.
I was wondering.
You know, it's good to combine. It's like a combo.
There'd be a word for the combo, you know? The brister.
The word is Mar. No, I don't know. What's
Southern.
The word? Yeah, there's something like, I know instead of he or she, you can say Z.
Z?
Z.
In English, you could say that?
There's something modern that's developing.
Oh, like,
I think Lillian told me about that.
Huh.
You can say Z instead of she or he. But I don't know what you could say for him or her. You don't say Zer or Zim. Which one? You know, it doesn't
that
work for everything. It's kind of, the English language just doesn't lend itself. And believe it or not, the Romance languages are even worse. They give genders to everything.
Oh, yeah.
They have nothing that's a mixed gender. Not even a table.
I wonder what language is the most genderless. Probably some sort of programming language.
Probably. You know, I was thinking like a modern language. At first I was going to say Hebrew, because Hebrew's kind of a modern language, but it's male and female. It's totally male and female.
At least in English we don't have too much male and female on
right.
our nouns and things.
We don't have the verbs. They're not all male and male. And that's yeah, that's just ridiculous.
It's weird.
What? You can speak on the microphone here.
There's a third gender in German.
There's a third gender in German. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that like the tranny gender?
No, it's the neuter gender.
The
which
neuter.
Is kind of sad.
That's sad, yeah. We don't
actually, they have that in either. India too, right?
Yeah,
India
I think so. I don't want a neuter gender.
Chair.
Yeah, you can sit in the chair.
I'm
You promise you're okay, you're not going to go out on the roof and start scaring us to death?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about
okay.
that.
Okay, thank you.
What?
There was scary things happening earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about them?
Let's talk about it. What happened?
I know, I heard this from my makeup area and I worried.
You heard what?
I don't know, some talk about rooftop meandering up the fire escape on the side of the, I don't know
I'm
what.
I'm afraid of heights, I'm not going to climb up the fire escape.
Okay, then, where was this happening?
Well, I was on the fire, but I just wasn't climbing up it.
Okay, but you were there on fire escape talking about going up to the roof.
Yes, I know, but then I was too scared to.
Many people have climbed that fire escape.
Let's hear it for fear.
Why are you scared? Lots of people have climbed that fire escape.
Up to the roof?
I'm afraid of heights.
It's not safe, and I don't want to be responsible. And you know what? I'm technically, I'm not responsible, okay? Not insured, not
no.
responsible.
No,
but I know
not.
Your mother.
I don't know if those go together.
What?
I don't know if that's how it goes.
No, you guys, look, we can go up the roof the normal way. I have a key, okay?
But now that you've told me that I cannot climb the fire escape.
You're going to.
There's nothing I want
okay.
more.
I know. I so hate being an authority.
I never even thought of it before
Whose
tonight.
Whose cola is this? It's empty. It doesn't matter. but the thing is that, let's just say, there are certain times when I'm more depressed than others, and has to do with the moon.
Okay, so why did you get so,
so
depressed?
So don't associate that with climbing the fire escape.
Why did you get so depressed? In the middle of a beautiful Saturday afternoon.
Because sometimes, you know, hormones happen.
She started drinking.
Exactly.
At like 1 o'clock.
Excuse
yeah.
me. Drinking too early.
Drinking too early.
You know what I did? I took a nap.
Good for you.
Yep. That's why I'm still rocking right
well,
now.
Well, you also did something else. I saw your man cleaning the apparatus for something else.
Oh, yeah. He cleaned my bong.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is lovely. It is crystal clear.
Is that the antidote to
I
alcoholism?
Don't know. I don't think so. But Lillian brought it up, so I figured I'd agree.
Yes. Adjust.
Okay. Is that me?
Adjustments.
You got the training. Here you go.
Okay, I've got the training.
All right. So, we've had some interesting callers tonight, I just want to
I like those
say.
Subjects.
I liked all the callers, and that is rare. Mm-hmm. Usually there is at least one.
Well, we hung up on that last guy.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about him completely. Okay. I don't want to count him.
All right. It ruins our perfect record.
It was. It was perfect right up until what's-his-name.
Who was what's-his-name?
He was probably not that bad, but all, like, impatient, because all
were.
Our other callers were
he
so
was,
good.
He just here right, because this is his computer on.
Yeah.
And we didn't. We were too impatient to really to do.
Mm.
Because we had such good callers up until then. Let's go over. We had Rob and Lisa talking about...
They were great. They already twittered me back.
Threesome.
Oh, I said, I asked the hard questions, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then they replied, well, it was hard. Mm. It was really cute. We had a little double entendre Twitter.
Right. Of course, I asked them about jealousy, and he admitted that was beautiful.
That's an actual hard question.
He admitted that he does feel jealous, so into it, and his balls get so engorged, and his... You know, the whole thing is the
Why
whole
do you have
sperm
to use
war.
The word engorged. That's just kind of gross sounding. No, I'm just kidding. Go on.
Engorged is gross?
Engorged balls.
Engorged is a great word.
I don't
love
know.
Engorged.
I kind of like engorged men.
Really?
Yes. What engorged. Do you want, an unengorged guy?
Kind
just
of.
Just drained and.
Well,
see, there you go. You need a sex surrogate, which was the next topic.
All right.
You don't like an engorged guy? What do you want, a guy that's not engorged?
Engorged.
A limp guy?
That sounds like I ate too much. Now I'm engorged.
Limp.
Not your stomach. An engorged set of balls is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's turned on.
Yeah, I don't love balls. That's why I need a male sex surrogate, to get me over my fear of balls.
Dude, balls
stick
are so
balls
hilarious.
In your face.
Yeah.
I can get a freaking male stripper to do that. He plays crotch limbo.
Balls are a little humorous. That's the thing. A lot of guys don't quite understand how fun balls are.
They're weird and funny and creepy. Alien-ish.
Creepy. No. They're fun.
It's an extremely vulnerable external organ. There's nothing else that really compares to that.
They can be creepy. I mean,
you know. Really? I just think they're funny.
When they move around.
Well, you know, if you don't really like them and they're in your face.
Or if you have a low-hanging pear.
You're, like, really drunk and you start having sex with a guy that you're attracted to in the beginning, and then the drunk kind of wears off, and then his balls are in your face, they're creepy.
Yeah,
balls are never creepy because they're completely non-threatening.
Well, you know,
they're
you're
pretty
guessing.
Logical. That's
yeah.
true.
When you're
they
in 69 on the bottom,
they
that's
have
threatening.
No, they can't do anything to you.
Exactly. They're just sort of silly
you
in
can
there.
Slap you in the face,
you and you
them.
Can slap back.
You hurt them good. You can hurt them bad.
Yeah.
But somehow they have that. You know, I guess yeah. it's just the look.
Balls.
I think they're funny. Mm. I think they're funny and fun and harmless. Not like clowns. Clowns are scary.
Well, now that's just crazy.
Clowns that is crazy. Clowns are better than balls.
No, balls are better than clowns.
I hear a poll on our website. Clowns versus balls.
How about balls with clown face? Would you like that if we paint a little
if
clown
you painted
face
a clown
on
clown
the balls?
No, that would be the ultimate in scary.
I would never look bald
in
my bag.
I hear a photo shoot coming soon.
No, I'm liking it. I'm liking the whole idea of the whole penis and the balls.
Clown balls.
Clown balls. Yeah, I love it. Clown
God.
Balls.
So you think of Carrot Top. Oh, God.
Okay, so we talked about sex surrogates and then the circumcision thing. You know, Passover's coming, so I'm sure I'm going to get struck, but I do not believe in circumcision. I know. I know. And you know what one of my reasons was? Because one of my best friends from high school, in fact, I would say my best friend from high school is a religious Jew. She is an Orthodox Jew. And she has two sons. And she did get them circumcised. And both times she called me, and she doesn't call me very often, and she's a very together woman, and she's just very strong. And both times she was horrified. She was mortified that she was doing this to her sons.
Yeah.
And that she had to do this. And actually the first time she told me was before I learned all the political stuff, and actually before, I think it was before we got married, before I got into my beloved uncircumcised penis.
Heavens. Well, now I know more about you, Max.
Well, yeah. No, he told you. Actually, he didn't hear.
I have some technical questions.
Everybody. But before that, I heard about my girlfriend who said, she called me that when she was having the bris.
Yes.
And she said, Susan, I'm just mortified. I can't believe I'm cutting my son. I'm cutting my son. And I have to do it. And I cannot be in the room. Because it hurts me to be in the room. And I started thinking about this operation done on little infants. And that the mother of this infant was horrified and crying. And started to think, why are we doing this to our little boys? We think it's horrible that some African Muslims do it to their little girls. And I agree, it is horrible. And I think it's horrible we do it to our little boys. Anyway, go on.
Well, my question was... Well, you a little bit. My question was, when do the boys actually get circumcised? I mean, it's not as an infant, right?
Yes, it's at a week old.
A week old. Now,
and that's the tradition. Sometimes it happens even earlier.
That's a tradition.
It happens
how do,
in the
like,
hospital.
Non-Jewish people, do they...
Usually in the hospital
they circumcise
before they get out.
Before you even go home.
Yes, before you go home.
Like part... 1 day old.
It's another thing they check off...
2 days old.
...on the list of things that they do.
Primarily today it's done for car payments. It's just for an additional...
an additional charge.
Yeah, it's just an additional charge. There's no religious reason. There's no other reason today to do not why you have to do that. You know? It's...
And they say, you know, people say, oh, it's better looking. I just think it is because that's what people are used to. That's all.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. I love my penis.
You know, I don't have to, but you were a little shy when you first showed it to me.
Listen,
you know, most uncircumcised
Susan,
guys...
you didn't even know.
I know. It's because the uncircumcised guys, they'll only show you your penis when it's hard at first. And they know, because it's the same.
It's the same.
But then, you know, you're hanging out with the uncircumcised guy, and you're in the bathroom, and he's in the bathroom, and then you go, what is that thing hanging down? What's wrong with him? And then you might learn something and go, oh, that's the way nature intended. It's just
picking
that we
look.
Cut it off. Yeah, picking a blanket, exactly.
Yeah, my friend Connie and I in AP Stats here of high school, we just sat around drawing uncircumcised penises, which was funny because she ended up dating my best friend from high school who's uncircumcised.
There you go. Drawing uncircumcised. Now, that's a challenge, I would think, because it's so blobby.
Oh, it was so much better. It was so much better than the you know, bell curve. My
well,
God.
We all have our own personality when
that's
we have
right.
our hoodies on, you know?
Our cappuccino.
Most guys, when I was in prison just recently, they all looked the same.
You know the word cappuccino.
Cappuccino, right, is
it's
that.
It's a certain kind of coffee. Mm-hmm. But it was invented by these... Friars, like Friar Tuck it was invented by the Cappuccino monks, and the Cappuccino monks also wore a hood,
right?
The hood, and the hood is the hood of the foreskin, so they call it a cappuccino.
Right, and cappuccino.
In Italy, is that the real name for it, cappuccino?
Sì, c'è un cappuccino.
Wow! All right, enough about
my
this.
My little hat.
Oh my God! I have a horrible. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You have a horrible.
I'm googling. I googled why circumcise. I wanted to get some answers.
Okay.
And I read this question on a medical board, and the woman says her husband was against circumcising son, so she has an 11-month-old uncircumcised boy. And the doctor told her the skin's not open enough like it should be, so she has to do these daily exercises where she pulls the skin up and down on her son to stretch it out.
Ooh.
She's essentially jacking off her one-year-old son,
okay.
Which you have to do medically, natural, organic, blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
actually, hold on.
I can't wait.
Hold it. That's actually the tradition. Years with the young children that are not circumcised for the mother to go ahead and exercise them. Yeah.
Tee-hee-hee. I'm making a face, radio listeners.
Yeah.
Okay. But your mother didn't do that to you, right?
My mother didn't do that to me, but my aunt did.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, someone kind of has to, right?
No, not necessarily, but it's
where's
a good
our incest landing page?
I'm sorry.
I'm working on it.
That's
promise.
Interesting, because that could lead to more incest things.
Of course. It has.
We are not recommending this, but let me just step in here. I have to say that I do not recommend circumcision, but I'm also not recommending that mothers and aunts
wait a minute.
No,
Susan.
No. If the doctor orders it.
You are not listening. You also have to clean it. So that's part of the thing
parents do.
Right. They have to pull back the skin and they clean it.
And by the way, this brings me to the real reason.
Jesus.
This is the reason that we have circumcisions. Okay? Because people don't want to be jerking off their little boys. They don't want to play these games. They don't want to do this.
Right.
They don't want to encourage this. Basically, God or nature created us and created men to be playing around with that thing.
Well,
it's supposed to be played around with because you're supposed to clean it and pull it back and wash it and pull it forward and let it protect and pull it back and wash it again and pull it forward and then pull it back when you pee and then pull it forward and then lo and behold, you're jerking off. It happens. It's a part of life. It becomes a part of life for guys that have a foreskin. And that's why the Old Testament forefathers of us got rid of their foreskins.
They said
you can't be jerking off like this. It has nothing to do with hygiene. It can be hygienic. All you have to do is wash it. But you don't want to wash it if you're just like, I'm not going to touch that thing because it's evil.
Part of it.
Evil.
It's not just that. What if, you know, the mom has to, like, constantly be doing that?
It's a little awkward.
It's
like, well, you have to wash the baby's asshole.
Yeah,
and when you wash the baby's asshole, you wash his penis.
Part of taking care of the baby.
Right.
But you can't cut off.
Well, a little baby, but like a 3 or 4 year old that's sentient, you have to be like, okay, here's how you pull this all the way back and clean in
it's
there.
It's just a pleasure. It's just a pleasure.
I guess, do you tell them that about their asshole? Do you go, when you're taking a bath, make sure that you clean your asshole?
It all started in...
Yeah, wipe yourself. Yeah, the mother has to teach you to wipe yourself.
Yes, of course your mother has to teach you that.
It's not automatic. You don't automatically know to wipe yourself.
I think you automatically know to clean your asshole.
Not really.
No, not at all.
It smells.
Toilet training.
No, you don't
kids
care.
Kids love it. They
kids
eat
do
it.
Not care if they're
your nose is so far from your asshole that you wouldn't be able to smell it.
And besides, you like that smell when you're a little kid. Your own smell.
I don't remember learning any of that.
There you go. She needs to give her asshole.
Let me just add something in here.
Go ahead.
This all started in the desert because you got sand there. So it's the Arab Jews that do that, basically.
The European sand.
Right. It's about the sand. You're in the middle of the fucking sand, and there's no water.
Not a lot of water.
There's not a lot of water, and it hurts. Okay. So then you
makes a little bit of sense.
Right. Then you just cut off the skin and that's it.
It's a desert ritual.
It desensitizes, so you can have all the sand on it you want.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it is really definitely an Old Testament, you know, kind of Middle Eastern rite.
checking the message board. It's a huge religious debate. Like, it seems like circumcision is a highly passionate, borderline religious topic.
Absolutely.
I had no idea. It's absolutely huge.
Because all the guys that lost it don't know what the fuck to do.
No one I know has ever complained about it. No guy that I've ever been with.
Well, but there's a huge movement of people that want to. Yeah, no. There's a huge movement.
But you heard our caller earlier.
It's the first time I've ever heard of
that. No, this is big. There's whole surgeries. The surgeons, just like breast implants.
I've never even heard of the surgery. Yeah. I've heard of vaginoplasty, but I've never heard of.
No, it's all
vaginoplasty. Have you heard of circumcision?
I have. We talked about that on the radio.
Well, we've been talking about it all for a while.
Yeah.
And it is a huge debate. I mean, I don't think there's much of a debate over female circumcision, except that, of course, there are people that practice it.
Does anyone opt for female circumcision?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, if I wanted to get it done, it's something I could do. You could.
Yeah.
You'd be crazy, but, you know, you could get it.
I would cry.
Like, you know.
I would cry for days.
Silly.
So.
It could help. It could help.
No. It's too late for you.
No.
It won't help.
It's too late. What do you want to help with?
You know.
You want to appeal to strict Muslim men that want a woman that doesn't feel anything
so that
she won't run off?
Why would it be not feel... Is female circumcision cutting off the clit?
Basically,
or is it cutting the hood around the clit?
Well, there's different levels.
Like, I don't want to fucking lose my clit.
Oh, what you do?
But losing the hood... Like, I didn't say I was going to get a Muslim circumcision.
Okay. You would usually lose the whole thing.
I don't want to lose the whole thing, but maybe the hood, I could go for that. Just have a little tiny 1.5-inch penis sticking out, you know?
Sarah, there are different levels of female circumcision. If you wiki it, you will see pictures that are drawn, not photos.
Okay, so safe for work.
Yeah, sort of.
They don't have photos?
No, not on Wikipedia. I don't want to see fucking photos of that. That's upsetting.
Well, I don't either, but I'm amazed that there are no photos on the internet of anything.
Oh, there are photos, I'm sure.
Maybe just not on Wikipedia.
That client, you know which one, the one who loves little girls in Thailand.
Like circumcised little girls.
Well, he talked about it. He mentioned it. Yeah,
by the way, let's just say this. It's all fantasy.
It's all fantasy.
We certainly wouldn't be talking to anybody that wasn't fantasizing.
Well, he's a lovely person. He really is.
You know... I don't know if he's a lovely person.
Well, he's very charming.
He's charming. He's charming. And he does always tell us that it's all fantasy. So, you know, part of what we do here is help people to explore their fantasies so that they don't want to do heinous things in real life.
Right.
So I think I'm going to look into clit piercings.
Well, piercings
are different. I was just going to, I mean, on that subject, should I keep that a fantasy? I mean, is it a heinous thing or can I
actually... No.
Piercing?
Yeah. No.
There's actually two different kinds of piercings. There's the hood piercing, which is super common. Everyone gets the hood piercing.
Right.
And then there's the clit piercing, which actually goes through your clit.
That's crazy.
You need, a specialist to do the clit.
But, you know, you're an adult and you should do whatever you want. I have a problem with parents doing this thing to little infants.
Okay, what I was thinking about when you said that the first time is that I've always been a little bitter towards my parents because they didn't give me piano lessons when I was 3 years old. They didn't teach me another language. They didn't give me dance classes. All those things that you have to do as a little kid because it's so fucking harder to do it when you're an adult. Like, they wasted those years, you know? And maybe circumcision sort of falls on that.
No.
Like, it's harder to get a circumcision,
no.
And it's harder to learn German.
No.
Than it is when you're three.
It's harder to learn German, but it's just as easy to get a circumcision.
No, it's not, because you have to walk into that office and be like, I'm going to let someone take their knife to my penis. I'm ready for this. You know, if it's done for you, then it's fucking done for you.
Okay, well, psychological.
My first match, okay, I converted to Judaism. And I called my father and told him I had to convert it to Judaism and I was going to marry a Jewish woman. And he says, now look, they're going to ask you to cut off your foreskin, all right? Don't do that. That's what he said. He said, don't do that. I'm telling you. I said, well, I wasn't planning to do that because, you know. But anyway, that's true.
Wait, why did he say that? Was he circumcised?
No, one in Europe is circumcised.
Okay. What was his reason?
His reason, because you were born with it, basically, and it's your thing.
Okay.
You know, you don't give up a piece.
See, I don't understand that. Yeah. And on the message board I was reading, that was what most people were saying, is like, how can you take a piece of me?
Right.
And it's like, they fucking took my wisdom teeth, you know, they take my hair, they take...
That's fine.
All sorts of pieces of me fall off over the place.
By the way, I disagree that they should take out wisdom teeth like that.
Right.
I think that's wrong. You know? I mean, doctors like to operate a lot. You know, they like to. Money. And really, today, in today's world, in today's, with people not in the desert, okay, for 40 years, okay, today's world, it's just a car payment. It's $400 and some odd.
Well, I think of it as cosmetic. Not at all.
Not even. No.
I think if you're circumcising your kid today, it's not really because the hygiene thing is an issue.
Have you ever been with a man, have you ever been intimate physically with a man who is not circumcised?
Yes. Yeah. Two men. I only had sex with one, but I've
Okay, now when I say intimate, did you manually and orally play with the foreskin?
Mm-hmm. Manually quite a bit, orally only a little bit, because he was very uncomfortable with that. He actually didn't like when him blubs. Possibly because it was too fucking sensitive.
Okay. So you played with the foreskin.
Yeah.
And you don't know what it's for.
Well, I mean, it was kind of like having a bag wrapped around it, and you can, like, pull it up over the tip, and like, look, you got 3 inches of skin, isn't that cute? And you pull it all the way back down, and you're like, now look, you got this bag at the bottom. But, like, it's not fucking worth it to me to have, like, this thing that I'm just playing with. Like, it didn't feel that much better inside, you know? It felt...
No, it doesn't feel any different.
It felt more slippery. It felt like a super loose condom, you know? Like, the normal one feels like a fucking torpedo.
No, well, it doesn't matter in terms of the torpedo. That's the guy.
It could be size.
That's the guy. Yeah, that's the size or the way the guy handles himself.
Well, it felt a little bit more slippery, like harder to get it where I wanted it to go because it had all this extra like shit around it.
Once it becomes.
That's purely not philosophical. That was my only experience.
When it's hard, it wouldn't.
Once
have
it gets erected. Nothing moves.
Well, maybe it was a small penis and I couldn't tell because it looked huge with that giant bag around it. No, the other guy, the one I didn't have sex with, was absolutely one scary. It was real scary with the extra load on it. And they don't look exactly the same. There's no head.
You see, I have my sort of intellectual approach to just I don't think it's right for parents to do an unnecessary operation on an infant. And then I also have my personal approach, but obviously you don't have the same experience, where being with a man who is uncircumcised, I found that I discovered what it's for. It just seems so natural and wonderful and part of his genitalia.
Well, I mean, it could be something I would come around to if I had a relationship with someone with an uncircumcised.
And listen,
it's a little bit like maybe having your pussy lips cut off, I think. Well, because the lips kind of fold around.
Let me give you a little secret that little boys who have their foreskins have, okay? It's like sucking your thumb. I was in prison for 10 months, and at nighttime, I would put my hand there, and I put my finger inside, and I felt so comfortable and warm. I did. And when we get lonely, a lot of times, men who have that, we can do that. It's really like sucking your thumb, except it's not your mouth.
Your penis is sucking your thumb.
Yeah, it's your penis.
It's a cool thing. I like to stick my
finger inside. Did not sell me on the idea. In fact, I don't know how I feel about that.
No. It's just
like sometimes I put my hand up there.
Let's put it this way.
I'm sleeping.
It's something men can't do.
Wow.
And they don't know what
it feels
like.
Sarah, I don't think you should be giving any kind of sexual advice to anyone, as you yourself need a sex surrogate.
Is that giving advice?
You're not really giving advice, you aren't. You're just expressing your opinion. But some people out there are listening to you as an arbiter of,
Disclaimer, I have no kind of expert or anything about sex.
Okay,
no.
Thank you.
I represent the Republican. And the Christian. When I'm on the show, I'm the Christian Republican.
I guess so. But yeah. You're an agnostic.
It's like my Colbert. I play a character, you know?
Keep your foreskins, those of you who have them. No, you know what? If you're an adult and you want to get rid of your foreskin, that's fine. All I say to you is, don't do it to an infant. That's what I say, you know. And you don't have to take my advice. Of course, you probably won't.
It's not consensual.
I don't think so.
At all. It's not consensual. What do you mean? There's nothing to think
Neither
about.
Neither is birth.
You know.
That's what I say to God.
That's something the parent has to do as necessity.
No, this is cutting off a piece.
I know. I never asked to be born. I didn't want to be born, you know. Yeah. I wanted to be non-existent.
Yes, I don't mind being born, just don't be taking pieces of me. Okay? That's all I'm asking you. Leave me alone.
I'm not saying that all the parents that get their kids circumcised are bad parents.
They're not bad parents.
Far be it from me, who's not even a parent, to say that.
Just ignorant.
But, yeah.
My mom cut my hair when I was young. I was very pissed. It was down to my waist. She cut it up to my
little bob. But you can always grow your hair back. You can
I can't.
Yeah, but it's very...
You've seen my hair.
As witnessed by our friend Andy in Vermont, it is very difficult to get the foreskin back.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andy in Vermont. I talked to him earlier. He was very nice.
You know, Susan. I came to America when I was 7.
You got to wind up the show soon.
Okay.
So.
I came to America when
get
I was...
Get to America. Okay, you're here. Okay.
I came to America when I was 7. 6 months later, I caught a cold, okay? Uh-huh. And they put me in hospital.
They were going to take off your foreskin.
No. Oh, they wanted to do that, too.
I'm sure.
First, they wanted to take out my tonsils. And I just did this. I fought so hard that they actually put me in a straitjacket. I was 7 and a half.
Jesus, they put you in a straitjacket.
Yeah, because they told me that they were going to take out these two things that I had no idea what it was.
You were a bad boy from the beginning.
And I said, no, you cannot do that.
Uh-huh.
So they put me in a straitjacket, they give me ether, and they took out my console.
Let me finish.
And then, I've had sinus problems ever since.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
I have my tonsils.
Thank you.
That's the thing with my uncircumcised best friend.
Right.
I have a tonsil story. Can I tell mine?
Sure.
I was really sick as a kid, and I would get, like, throat problems all the time, and the doctors would tell my parents to get her tonsils taken out because they're catching infection, and she's getting sick all the time. And my parents were too poor and didn't have medical insurance and couldn't get my tonsils out. And so every time I would get sick, I'd fucking hate them and be like, you fucking bitches can't get my tonsils taken out, and so now I'm suffering and sick because of this. And so... That's my story. I never got my fucking tonsils taken out. And I always blamed them for not doing it.
Okay, and people that
and
have had this...
I believe that tonsils are... They've
they're
discovered
there for a reason.
That tonsils are good for you.
Well, I don't have any tonsil problems now. So
right,
I guess I shouldn't be bitter because...
Exactly.
Right.
Love your tonsils.
But I was really sick and in pain back then.
I really believe that the human body is this incredible computer that has come about through millions of years of evolution, and that, you know, unless we personally, for personal, subjective, aesthetic reasons, want to change ourselves, we shouldn't change the little children unless it's to save their life or something like that. Anyway, it's my belief, you do what you want. I am Dr. Susan Bach. This is Radio Suzy 1, so I get to see my beliefs at the end. And
last word for me.
Although sometimes my engineer takes the last word because he has the controls. Okay. Brother Max, thank you so much. And Sister Sarah, Sister Lillian, Brother Bran, Sister Lisa, Sister Felicia, and Brian and Skip and everybody, Mar, everybody. Thank you, and thank you, my darling listener, for having us in your home, your mansion on a hill, or your cardboard box. I want you to be good. Be happy. Try not to circumcise your infants, and try not to hurt anyone, including yourself. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. Pull that foreskin back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I love you.
You can't talk about with anyone else. You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497. Anytime you need to talk.